29 years old today. For those of you who know, I celebrated my 40th birthday last year. No, I'm not growing younger by the day. Today is my spiritual birthday. Thanks to Philip, on the 29th of April, 1989, I prayed and asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Not the Philip that Morgan read about to us earlier, but my teacher at a holiday club in my church in Pune. Another point of significance to the Bible passage for today is that my Philip is African. Philip took time to break the word of God to us young adolescents. And one thing I learned that day that I will never forget is that God doesn't have grandchildren. You and I are not Christians on account of being born into Christian families. God calls each one of us into a personal relationship with Him. Will you be the right person at the right time in the right place? The book of Acts is a very happening account of the early church. It is interchangeably referred to as the Acts of the Holy Spirit and the Acts of the Apostles. The key verse to refer to as the backdrop for the book of Acts and for today's passage is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is one of the verses I also learned in my holiday club so many years ago. In Acts chapter 6, we read that Philip was one of the seven chosen, along with Stephen, full of the Spirit and full of wisdom, appointed to oversee the distribution of food and alms. The disciples had their work cut out for them. With the ministry of the word and meeting the practical needs of people on one hand, and Saul persecuting the Christians on the other. Chapter 7 closes with the martyrdom of Stephen. It took intense persecution to scatter the disciples out of Jerusalem and into Judea and Samaria. Philip was one of the first disciples who took the gospel outside of Jerusalem. Earlier in chapter 8, we find Jesus using Philip powerfully as he preached and performed many miracles. Philip was instrumental in many of the Samaritans coming to Christ. It was an exciting time in Samaria, but God had other plans for Philip. Turn with me, if you will, to our passage for today, reading from verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So how can we be the right person at the right time and in the right place? Through the Spirit of God. Now, Samaria is a place that lies north of Jerusalem. And God asked Philip to go way down south to the desert place. Because Philip went where God sent him, the first person of African descent was baptized. And Ethiopia was opened up to the gospel. We find that this man of great wealth and reputation undertook a long and inconvenient journey for months, traveling some 2,000 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, following the Nile, passing through a desert, and even negotiating a wilderness. And the truth is that even after enduring an arduous pilgrimage, this Ethiopian eunuch would have been barred from even entering the temple. This passage also brings about the fulfillment of earlier scriptures. In Psalm 68, verse 31, David wrote, "Nobles shall come from Egypt. Cush shall hasten to stretch out her hands to God." Ethiopia was once called Cush. And Isaiah wrote, "Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' And let not the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." Philip was tasked with the great commission of Jesus to take the gospel to those people whom the Jews considered outside the covenant of promise. As an official in charge of the treasury of Ethiopia, this man's conversion brought Christianity into the power structures of another government. This was the start of the witness to the ends of the earth. What is Jesus calling us to? Most of us are not likely to be guided by angels. At least, we may not recognize them as such. But we can still know God's guidance if we depend on the Holy Spirit and pray to ask for God's direction. The challenge for us today is to follow his leading, even when it doesn't make complete sense to us, with our finite wisdom and our limited understanding. Whilst the world seeks power and position, Jesus calls us to move away from that mountaintop and to reach out even into the desert place and seek to do his will. 1 John 4:4 puts it beautifully. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Let's rejoin Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot in verse 30. "Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." Another way of being the right person at the right time and in the right place is through the word of God. Philip found the Ethiopian reading scripture. Taking advantage of this opportunity, he began the discussion from where the man was at and explained how Jesus fulfills Isaiah's prophecies. I believe this text is saying a couple of things to us in relation to the word of God. Let's start with us first. If we have ever have trouble understanding the word of God, we should ask for help, both from other Christians and from God. I'm sure Steve, Caroline, and Ajay would be happy to help. Attend Connect groups and other Bible study groups. Read good Christian books and pray for God's help for us to understand. Jesus said in John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." God will help us understand what God has said. The next aspect is that when we reach out to others, we should consider where the other person is at and then share the love of Jesus and the good news of his salvation. Is there someone in your family today who could do with a loving gesture or even forgiveness? What about a friend or a neighbor or even a colleague at work? Do we live our lives based on his word and set apart for him? Can others notice the difference? One of the stories in this year's 40 Acts for Lent is about extravagance. This young preacher was speaking at an outreach weekend for a church in another part of the country. Him and his wife had been struggling for many months with a temperamental car that refused to start when the weather was even a little bit damp. As he was introduced at one of his talks, the story of the temperamental car came up, but he didn't think any more of it at the time. As the weekend drew to a close, one couple stayed behind to talk to him. It seems that they had been listening and discerning God at work, prompting them to act. They said to him, "It may not quite be what you were hoping for, but we have a car that we were wondering what to do with, and we'd like to give it to you." Now, it's unlikely that you and I will find ourselves in a position where we are able to extend such extravagant generosity, but help, we surely can. Have you considered signing up to helping out at the winter night shelter next winter, or at Soup Kitchen, or getting involved in Food Bank or Christians Against Poverty, all of whom we support here? It's really exciting to see his love in action and to be a part of his plan. Jesus is calling you and me to be the right person at the right time, in the right place. Through the power of his Spirit and the guidance we have on hand through his word. A Christian man was assigned a middle seat on an airplane. Tired and wanting to sleep, he was irritated when the young girl with Down syndrome sitting next to him started asking him questions. "Mister," she said, "do you brush your teeth?" "Yes," he replied. "Good," she said. "People who don't lose their teeth." A little later, "Mister, do you smoke?" "No," he responded. "Good," she said. "People who do die." After a long silence, she said, "Mister, do you love Jesus?" "Yes," he answered. "Good," she said. "People who do go to heaven." Though deeply touched, he settled back in his seat, hoping it was the end of the questions. Just then, the young girl leaned forward and said, "Mister, can you ask the man next to you if he brushes his teeth?" Well, you can guess where that conversation was headed. But when it came to the question about Jesus, the second man looked thoughtful. "I'm afraid I don't understand," he said. For the next hour or so, the two men spoke about Jesus, the power of his resurrection, and his saving grace. Sometimes opportunities to share the love of Jesus can come in unusual ways, as we find in today's passage. If we are willing, God can use our feeblest efforts to tell others that Jesus loves them so much that he died for them. In the Old Testament, we read of Nehemiah, who senses a calling to go and rebuild the shattered and broken lives of his fellow Jews in Jerusalem. The fortified city wall had been reduced to a pile of rubble. Nehemiah prayed and asked God for help. Now, there's a little verse that oddly makes its way into this narrative. Nehemiah 1:11. "At the time, I was cupbearer to the king." A small contextual detail that we could so easily miss. A time, a role, and a place of influence. A cupbearer was that person who checked the food and drink at the king's table. And it was this level of trust and closeness to the king that gave Nehemiah his unique God-orchestrated opportunity. Nehemiah was the right person at the right time and in the right place. Other examples of people who were in the right place at the right time and for the right reason are Joseph and Esther. And as a result, Nehemiah found favor in the eyes of the king. Joseph was appointed as the right-hand man for Pharaoh. Esther played a key role in the liberation of the Jews. And Philip was instrumental in taking the gospel to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Will you and I be the right person at the right time in the right place?